Hello world, I'm Kate Armstrong and this is Future Talks. Future Talks is a series of conversations with friends of FabLab Barcelona, exploring the nature of emergent futures from the past to the present and beyond. For this episode, we invited Ron Wackery and Oscar Tomico. Oscar is the co-director of the Master in Design for Emergent Futures. Ron is a professor in the School of Interactive Arts and Technology at the Simon Fraser University in Canada, founder of the Everyday Design Studio, and also a professor in industrial design at the Eindhoven University of Technology in the Future Everyday cluster. Ron visited FabLab Barcelona at IAC to give the students from the Master in Design for Emergent Futures a masterclass in his work and theory. In this episode, Ron and Oscar discuss our relationship with the world, our values, and the potential for post-human design. Enjoy the show.
Hey Ron.
Hi Oscar.
Thanks for coming to Barcelona.
It's my pleasure.
So, how do you think the class went?
I thought the class was really great. There are some really good students, and I think that they're tackling some big problems, and I think that that's good to see, and I think that, it's healthy for design to have that kind of ambition.
I really like when you were talking about, like, design always implies an intervention.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that? So, can you maybe explain it a bit more?
Yeah, so I like to think that we tend to always think that we're motivated, people are motivated to have new designs or have things in the world. But I don't think that's always the case. I think people are very, they're busy about going about their lives, but also they have practices and they're really establishing what works for them, what doesn't work for them. They're tackling ideas of their well-being and what they think are fair and all of these other things. That every time we come along with something like a design, no matter what it is, it's asking on some level for change. And I think some people are motivated for change, but others are not. It really depends on what it is. So in each and every case, it's something to at least pause and think about. And it's something that is going to ask that whatever you're doing today, you may want to do differently tomorrow.
Yeah, so I think in a way, it's really important to understand that this change can happen at different levels.
Yeah.
So it could be with the use of an object, but could also be in the process of designing it or the associated practices to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think that's really the tough part for a lot of designers, and I think also for this class, was how do you ground whatever the problem is? For whom are you designing? What is the context in which you're designing? So not all interventions are the same. And then, of course, you're always considering perhaps what are the unintended consequences of what you're doing. But I think design comes with some risk. It should come with risk. And I think that the idea that you can kind of think about for whom you're designing and situate it in that context is one way to help manage some of that risk.
Yeah. So in a way, I think that like risk is an important factor, especially when you are designing for the unknown. You are designing for the future in a way. And the only way to learn about if it's interesting or if it could be meaningful for society is by trying it out.
Yeah. And as we were talking about, I think sometimes you have to take the risk that perhaps you will have no impact. And I think even to some degree, you have to take the risk that maybe your impact obviously is not what you thought it would be, because the chances are that's what's going to be. But the risk may not be at all positive. It could be negative. But I think that's part of the risk. And I think that the idea in design, since it's such a complex process and an open process, and I think it's one that involves more than the designer, involves the stakeholders, involves a lot of, as I'm going to talk about later, a lot of non-human things like materials and other technologies. That in fact, you have to kind of, in order to incorporate that or I guess embrace it, you have to do that, you have to take on some risk.
Yeah, and the thing I would say that you either take the risk to realize that what you're trying to do might not be meaningful for society, but you better know it than pretend it is meaningful and continue working with your eyes closed.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we have a tendency, or some have a tendency, to think in terms of solutions and sort of a certain kind of solutionism. And they want what their idea or the thing that motivates them to have a ready solution. But I think there's not enough of staying with the problem. Understanding what the problem is again, it's contradictory, it's complex, and it's your view, it's your agenda on the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the problem. But I don't think designers stay enough with it. And I think in some sense that we perhaps design from a weaker position than we really should be doing.
And do you think that this post-human approach to design could be a solution? Well, maybe solution is the wrong word, but could be an opportunity for that?
Well, I think we have enough challenges and we're certainly surrounded by them now. And I think that in many, at least we have to take stock and think to what degree the way we have been designing is part of the problem. And so to what degree do we have, how far can we go with human-centered design, despite how much is actually produced for us and how much good in some level, it's creative. But what are some of the challenges with that? And I think the issue with posthumanism is at least this idea that it rethinks, I think it positions you where you have to design with others. You think with others. So whether you're thinking with others, other humans as not yourself, as not the same, as different from you. You're thinking about non-humans in terms of other animals and other species. You're thinking about matter. You're thinking about you're designing with others that co-inhabit the same place and the same neighborhood, the same planet that you do. And so in that way, I think at least the framing of it brings to the foreground a way of thinking that gets beyond our narrow privileging of exclusively human values.
And do you think it's going to be easy to make the shift into post-human design?
I don't think it will be easy at all, but I think there's enough urgency, and I think I'm, I don't think it's easy, and I don't know what, and I think that I don't really know what that shift is going to be or what it should be, or it's going to come up in multiple forms and a certain multiplicity, which is good. I think that the challenge is that there's a certain urgency now. I think we have to if we're not willing to take stock and put ourselves, see ourselves as potentially being part of the problem, and by that I mean the way in which we design, then I think we have less hope. I mean, I think that's not a viable position anymore.
Because even in the master program, we try to teach the students how design can happen from society for society, from a bottom-up perspective.
Yeah.
But still, like the comments and questions that we get, it's like, but I need to know first what's possible.
Yes.
Or the other thing is like, how can I validate that what I'm doing is right?
Yes. Yeah, and I think that if we talk about it in the sort of post-human context and some of the thinking and some of the, for example, around post-humanism, I think informed by perspectives, let's say, like feminism or other perspectives that, for example, there's an idea of situated knowing. And so I think you know within the given situation. And I think we also have to be able to design from not knowing. And I think the idea that perhaps if you want to be inclusive of, let's say, non-humans, of animals, you want to be inclusive of materials or other non-human things like machines and technologies, there's a real limit to how much we can know about these things. They're simply not human. I mean, our ability to understand things is based on the fact of who we are, our, the sense that we are humans in this world. So I think beginning to rethink design from a position of not knowing, and being able to design in a way that we can think about knowing from a situated perspective and from our perspective, I think is a much better start, and I think a much better grounding.
And do you think that taking this kind of a post-human approach to design actually will make the design process more human and personal?
I think so. I think that one of the things that we lack, I think we aspire to a certain kind of human a relation to the world, which I think is again part of the problem. I think if we understood this in a broader context, we'd have much more humility. And I think humility is something that's really lacking in the way in which we go about designing, which is not to say you don't have ambition, but there's a certain understanding of, I think, the limits of what your abilities are and the fact that those abilities and the outcomes of those abilities are shared with others. And I think that is,
So in a way, design can change the world by step.
Well, I think we would always like to think that I think design always changes the world. I think the question is to what degree we change the world with an understanding of the outcome of that world that we're going to co-inhabit. I think that's the challenge. So I think we're always changing the world. We have changed the world dramatically. We've changed the world dramatically based on, you know, whether our values around what we believe to be convenient, or our values about what we want to consume, or our values about accumulating wealth. And that's been rampant. And I think that the thing is we'll continue to change the world, but I think we have to reassess the privileging of certain values and make way for other values.
Well, thank you very much for your time, and
you're
thank
welcome.
You for being here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting me, Oscar.
Thanks for listening. The Future Talks podcast is produced by us at FabLab Barcelona with happiness. This episode was recorded at IAC. Special thanks to the team of MDEF and our partner, Elisava School of Design and Engineering. Music by Nua, art by Leina Sofia.